This episode is proudly brought to you by our mates at Ned's.
Josh, do you give out many tips?
Sometimes.
Who's your source?
Well, normally Sam McClure. Like, he's he's really good. Like, I backed Harley Reid not to make it in West Coast colours. And then this year, just anything he says, I go the opposite.
Congrats. It's a good it's a good option. Hey, I've got...
What are you? What about you?
Have you got a brother-in-law?
No.
You need a brother-in-law for your tips, mate. That's where I get mine from. Yeah,
I could ask my brother to divorce his wife and then we can see how we go, but...
That'd be the first step, wouldn't it?
I need to speak to Georgie too. He's always real confident with his tips, but they never ever come off. Now, if you're looking for a one-stop shop for social betting, check out the Neds app. You can create groups perfect for betting together and ripping on your mates. And if you think you found a winner, you can let them know.
Or you might be looking for a hot tip.
And you can build a profile and share your bets with your followers.
Or you can see what other punters are like on the feed.
There's also expert tips on everything AFL from the fantasy pick himself, Tom Rotcliffe, within the Neds AFL Open Group.
It's not just for AFL though, Josh. There are other open groups for racing, B-ball, UFC, soccer, and heaps more.
Download the Neds app if you haven't already and take it to the Neds level. T's and C's apply and available on the Neds website. You win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Hello, I'm disgraced sports journalist Josh Gallop, and welcome to the Kick It Forward podcast, the only sports newsroom with the guts to tell it like it is, guys.
Yeah.
What a seamless start to this one.
Josh just fired the intro off, and I was like, hang on, there's a microphone not plugged in. And then we realised Josh didn't have a microphone at all.
Remember, yell Kick It Forward anywhere, tag us, and we'll share it. Also, if you're going to review us, that would help us dearly. Apple Podcasts, here's one from Ripping Off Just Pricks. Do not bother, bunch of imposters trying to copy the brilliant Just Pricks pod. 5 stars. It's our basketball podcast over the summer. Check that out late in the week. But right now we're in the main body of the pod. Guys, how are you going?
Oh my God.
So bloody good.
This silly season. Would you believe it?
I know.
Would you bloody believe it? How about Friday night? Hit it.
The Pinal?
Yeah.
Can you play it Pinal?
I said I'd never go back to Ice Cream Factory. And then I thought, you know what? Maybe I visit. It was the older night. I think it was like the seniors night at Ice Cream Factory.
Because
Pinal played. Yeah.
It is that time of year where you get to Monday and you're like, oh, you know what? I'm going to be more conservative next week. There's a long season ahead. Long, silly season. And then they just get sillier and sillier. I saw this graph the other day showing each weekend getting increase in silliness. And there were spikes in between. And that's what it felt like on Friday. It was a lot of fun.
Do you reckon it peaks on the 23rd?
Yes. Maybe the 24th.
No, yeah. surely the spike of silly season is in between Christmas and New Year.
That's more of a plateau.
That's silly. Yeah.
It's a silly plateau.
Yeah.
And that's where I want to live.
Yeah. Silly plateau.
It was a good night.
You know what though?
What?
During the night, I agreed to play 18 holes walking of golf at the wonderful... It was a generous invitation to the WA Golf Club here in WA.
Right, okay.
And I tell you what, I went to battle. It was fucking hot. We were walking. Played with Chaz, Sam, and this other guy. Legend guy, actually. Legendary Irish bloke, Eamon.
Oh.
He was slightly dusty as well from the night before. He pulled one of the best moves I've ever seen on a golf course. By the back nine, his body was shutting down and he called the pro shop and had them deliver a card out to him. This is how hot it was. It was bad. And I reckon I was 10 times more hungover than he was. Towards the end, it was physical and mental, this battle.
Yeah.
I yacked on the 18th hole.
Oh my God, Harry.
That was a first. From the heat, of course. From the heat.
Did you score better or worse after vomiting?
Well, it was the 18th, so there wasn't much improvement.
That's true.
You know, actually, I entered my first comp on the weekend.
It was just a comp.
It was a comp day. Yeah, it was
an
comp.
Interesting time to jump into a comp golf.
I know, so bad. No warm up, hung. The thing was, though, because I want to get a handicap going, there was some sort of glitch in the system, and my handicap was entered as one. So we're playing Stableford golf rules, where you score points based on your handicap. I scored 6 points for the day. Now, just for reference, a bad day out there would be 20 points. So I've scored six. But what I have done is something that may be a first in the history of Stableford Golf.
Vomited on the 18th hole?
No, I don't think that would be a first. Okay, I think there might have been a few.
I've done that a couple of times.
Yeah, I got the lowest score and came dead last in this comp out of like 100 people or something that entered.
Golf club.
Yeah, thanks. And I also won nearest to the pin.
Oh, congratulations. Oh, yeah, the highs and lows of golf.
Yeah, that's right.
You've lived it.
I've lived it. So, it was a great weekend.
Do you think you get asked back?
100%. Yeah, really? I brought a bit of fun banter too. So, yeah.
I enjoy that.
100%. What did you guys do then?
Well, it was the Chrissy season. I had a great time. But guys, I feel like there's a lot of Chrissy do's this time of year.
Heaps of do's.
Time of year. So many do's. And the one thing people don't consider, the Chrissy don'ts. Chrissy do.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas!
Chrissy don't.
As we discovered earlier, there's a plethora of remixes of favorite Chrissy songs. There's a good trap remix as well. Sia has a good one that you like also, Jay.
I love the Sia Christmas album.
But these hardcore ones, they're great. This is Wham! Remix.
Oh, yeah. Last Christmas.
But I was just thinking, like, what are some of the Chrissy do's and don'ts? Now, there are some things I like to do. Like, Chrissy do, perhaps, is seeing friends and family.
Whoa, that's a really nice one. Yeah,
it's really good. Nah. Chrissy don't. Leaving your Xmas presents to the very last minute.
Uh-oh. I still haven't started yet.
Oh, my God. Give me that hand.
Ow!
Sorry.
That was quite hard.
Oh, I should have learned from episode 30 when
exactly.
You did that.
Exactly. Chrissy do. Drinking responsibly.
Chrissy do that
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
Chrissy do that for sure.
Chrissy don't. Pissing in the wardrobe on Saturday night.
Oh, we can't spell Christmas without pissmas.
What?
Well, I'm just saying don't do it. I'm not pointing any fingers at myself. I'm just saying just don't do it.
Yeah, that'd be a wonderful thing to not do.
Chrissy but do.
Never,
no, let's move on.
You
Chrissy
would never
do.
Not share a story if you did do that.
Chrissy do. Christmas carols.
The most Christmas carols. Caroling's my favourite.
Chrissy don't. F***ing your ass.
Oh my God.
I like where this pod's gone.
Why does it have to be Christmas themed?
I'm just saying it's Christmas. So like if this time of year, if a Chrissy don't with
I
that.
Feel like it's just coincidental and nothing.
I'm not pointing any fingers.
Okay. No, that was one of the bigger Chrissy do's that went to.
Chrissy do. Making memories.
Aww. I've got a Chrissy don't. Chrissy, are you finished?
I got a couple more, actually.
I can't wait, because if they're escalating.
Sleeping through 7 appointments and then yakking in your own bed.
Is that a do or a don't?
It's a Chrissy don't.
Is that a Chrissy did by the sound of it?
No, again, you're drawing
it's
some
a, George, it's a Chrissy, oh, okay. It's a Chrissy doesn't matter. Do it's a Chrissy doesn't right. matter, okay?
And a final Chrissy do is just like, hanging out with you lot.
Oh, that is...
Yes.
The final Chrissy do was actually submitted IRL on Saturday. It was from Friday. It was Luke McQuaid, and it said, met him at ice cream, and he a bit of a Chrissy don't, guys. And it's also a Chrissy do. He showed me his My Cricket stats to prove he was a good cricketer.
Was he?
I can't remember, but he was talking. He was a lovely dude. He was talking very close to me. There were a couple of 70s in there, I think, and I think I might have pointed out, hey, what's that five? And he was like, nah, fuck off.
Yeah, don't worry about the fives. Chrissy, don't get stuck behind elderly people with this Chrissy season.
Oh,
you know what?
Slow walkers.
I actually just made up this stat. Australians, on average each year, you lose 1 billion hours of time getting stuck behind elderly people.
A billion.
Oh my God. Is that true?
Today's elderly lady going down one of those flat escalators, like a flat travelator, parked a trolley in the middle of it.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I was like, go
they're
left,
fucking
right.
designed to like, lock in on
I felt
the
like
left.
Frosby flopping over her, seriously.
It's Christmas, motherfucker.
Good way around that is just carry empty pint glasses around with you and use glass people. And you can move ahead of them.
That's Chrissy a life hack.
Chrissy do.
Serve the Chrissy do's. Chrissy don't. Send them in if you've got any.
I've got an extra Chrissy don't.
Oh, cool. Go on.
Chrissy don't leave a Bucks party on Saturday to go to a Christmas dinner with your missus and she gets the day wrong.
Okay.
Again, nothing to do with me. This is just as you said. I was so, full disclosure, she was like so apologetic. She got the day wrong. I was so stoked that it wasn't me.
Oh, right. So it wasn't you. I just assumed it was you.
I know, because it's something I'd do. I would do that. Mm. I made a salad. We got dressed up. We went there. and she checks the text message and it's Sunday, not Saturday. So I feel like I've got that card to use at least like three times.
I feel like in the lead up to family Christmas events, there are multiple conversations about it, you know. You might see your family a few days before.
This was a friend's thing. Was a friend's thing.
Oh, okay, sure. Okay, Chrissy do.
Is this a Chrissy do or a Chrissy don't?
I thought this is my segment.
Secret Santa or Chris Kringle. Or Chris Kindle, as Josh calls it.
Chrissy, yeah, don't
if
call
you win
that.
A Kindle.
What's the shittest thing you've ever got in a Chris Pringle?
I don't know. Adoption papers that I didn't know existed.
Chrissy, don't.
No, what are the worst thing I've ever got? I don't know. I don't really care about them, to be honest. Material possessions. I'm more of like a experienced vibe guy.
Last, cool. First of all, sorry. Just pause to say, cool on that one. Last year, my cousin mailed it in and I got a shoebox full of 20 stubby holders. Initially, it's like, oh, you know what? It's been bloody handy because I can BYO them and not really care about bringing them home with me.
I also had one. We're going to make another video. We've got a list of all Christmas videos we're making. And if you have a weird cousin, you're like, oh, fuck, not the weird cousin. I don't have many cousins. Most of them are legends. But rocking up and then realizing you're the weird cousin, because that was kind of my realization recently that I'm the weirdest cousin at the thing.
Could have told you that. Well, Gabby came home from work very pissed off the other day. They had a $20 Secret Santa.
Oh, yeah.
She gave a $20 ice cream voucher to like the local ice cream shop. Great. Sure. Yummy ice cream.
Good concerts.
She got a page of stickers.
I'd be pissed off too.
Yeah.
I came home from work pissed off the other day, actually, minus the off.
Been an absolute legend.
Yes. I fucking hate this segment so far. Gee, do you have any
Well, course? Guys, look, as you know, December's an expensive time of year. Lots of drinks, lots of Chrissy do's, lots of presents. Well, lucky for you, I've got some schemes and our hustlers have sent in some that will save you enough money to not only afford presents for your loved ones this year, but also...
Can I just predict one? This one's from Matt. Looting.
Theft. Hey, guys, theft.
Play on.
No. Well, one is marginally illegal. We'll get to that.
Not breaking the law, but sometimes it toes the line. Scheme.
All right, here we go.
I don't know how legal this is, but I'm gonna preemptively just play the sting.
You can't do that.
Siren.
The legal scheme alert.
Billy writes in, gents, have just been made aware of an all-time scheme. Mate's girlfriend's family cat has gotten an infection. Rather than taking the cat to the vet and paying a couple hundred to get it fixed, her dad has taken it to Cat Haven, told them it's a stray they found, had them fix the infection, and re-adopt the cat at no cost.
Wow. Okay, wow.
Yeah.
It seems somewhat dishonest.
It seems like you're wasting critical resources of cat behavior.
Yeah. I think there is a surplus of cats.
I like to think the same cat gets sick 2 months later and he walks in with it and goes, yeah, I found another cat. Looks a lot like the last one.
Is this a regular thing for them? Are they just like bad owners in general as well as bad people? Or are they...
I don't know, but I assume it is illegal.
I'm impressed at the creativity of it. Mm. I don't condone that behaviour, though.
No, well, that's why I play the illegal scheme alert.
Thank you.
Guys, another one. Finbar writes in. Now, this one's longish, but bear with me. It is worth it.
Did you edit it?
You will have a house deposit by March if you follow these instructions.
Nice. Okay.
Hello, cool. Giorgio and the two 1.5 Giorgios. I like the pod the same way I like watching ISIS videos when I was in early high school. You can infer what you will.
Okay, these are the bits you could edit out.
Yeah, true. I was recently caught in a scheme slash...
That's illegal too. Go on, sorry.
Recently caught in a scheme. I work in central London where a local salad chain has one of its locations. The salad chain ran a promotion recently where if you created an online account with them, you were rewarded with a free salad. Seeing as I live in London in a job paying minimum wage... I decided a scheme to be cooked. I created 6 fake accounts using several emails and friends' phone numbers. I got 6 free salads before I was caught by the co-founder of the salad chain, who emailed me thusly.
Oh, fuck.
Dear
hell.
Finbar, I appreciate you giving it a go, but we're a small company, sad face. If you could please avoid creating multiple accounts, that would be so kind. These are the emails he's put in. production@imacreep.co.uk Finbar Todd, full name, @me.com Finbar_Todd_5@gmail.com Anyway, these go on. He then continues, He then added me on LinkedIn, which I feel could only be read as an intimidation tactic. Thanks for the indulgence. My question is, how do you respond when you're caught in a scheme? In this instance, I took a leaf out of the book of former President of the US, Bill Clinton. DDD. Deny, deny, deny. This is his reply to the owner of the salad chain. Weird coincidence. I don't even like salad.
Oh, what are chances? That's so weird. Yeah,
this other guy called Finbar is loving all these salads, getting all these free salads. What are you talking about? This email called Fake Salad Scheme email at gmail.com.
Fake Salad Scheme 3. Fake Salad Scheme.
Oh, I feel for the small business owner. As a small business owner myself, Kick It Forward Pty Limited. Oh, God, I'd hate if I was schemed.
At least he's eating healthy, though.
Yeah, eat fresh.
And you know what they say, you know, oh, he may be eating salads in London, but London will eat you up if you're not careful because it's, you know, it's just, oh, it's a big city. And
thing about London too is like this time of year, all these bloody Londoners come back and they're like, oh, London was so good. Oh, sorry. And they've picked up an accent and then they're like, oh, I might move back to Perth, and they don't.
It's not, you know, they come back for the 2 weeks in December, Jan. It's bullshit. No, you don't just get us at our best. You need to be here all year round.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
More on hating Perth in the pod soon.
Nutty Bartel poos for the first time in a day.
It was better than Leo.
The Matildas have won again.
And welcome back, Daniel Ritardo.
They came bounding over.
The headlines.
It's shift the shield, gonna hit a six. It's gonna suck some dicks. It's gonna bow with my mates. Shift the shield.
Before we get all the Perth hate out of our bloody system, because we felt pretty bloody targeted this week, I just want to talk about we met Harley Reid, the number one draft pick for West Coast.
Oh, what a whirlwind that was.
Yeah, we ran up to him with moustaches and speed dealers on. Like, hey, because we're doing something with Cricket Australia there. He sort of like looked at us like, no, I don't want what you're selling. And then I think they might have recognised us and we're like half interested and then we weren't. And we're like, hey, do you want to put a moustache? And they said no. But then they kept the speed dealers.
They did. They kept the speed dealers.
We gave away around about 100 or something.
Was no speed dealers without the moustache.
That's true. Harley Reid, he gets a free pass. I like that we were sort of like watching going, oh God, poor guys. Just like, there's just a line of people asking for photos. And we go, oh, let's go give him a moustache and
try and get a photo with him. It's annoying. West Coast didn't reshare our photo of it. I thought they'd be all about two WA icons working together.
Weird.
Yeah, Campbell Chesney.
Maybe message. I'm sure it was an honest mistake.
Guys, and I don't want to seem like I'm over the top, but I got some pretty good preseason vibes from him.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Was he training anything down?
Well, just the way he was avoiding people and don't arguing their like selfie requests, but at the same time absorbing the contact and turning with it.
Whoa.
And this is like, these weren't scrubs. These were 20-year-old kids who clearly knew they were around a football, but they were at the cricket because of summer. And I just thought to myself, that's a number one draft pick. Okay. West Coast in good hands.
He was very fluid with the way he moved.
Why are you always trying to make it to piss? All right, so everyone hates Perth right now. So there was a lot of shithouse articles. So everyone's sort of heaping on the fact that only 16,000 people went to the first day on Friday. Then there was like 9,000 yesterday. Yes, Harry?
Well, day one of the, say when the test was at the Wacker. 16,000, you say, on the first day?
Yeah, pretty handy.
The Wacker would have looked pretty full. Like, what was the old capacity? 20,000 to 24,000.
Yeah.
So against Pakistan, that's not out of the ordinary. I guess, yes, there is. It's a much bigger stadium and it looks so dead. But seriously, all the byproduct of this, the Perth hate that came from it.
So there was all these weird articles. There was basically a lot of Perth hate going, oh, come on, why aren't people going to it? And it's like, well, it's against Pakistan. Like, I'm sure if there was, it was against India or England, it'd be pretty packed. It's also 7,000 more than it was against the West Indies last year. So that was all right. It's also a very big stadium. But there were a lot of articles that came out. I'm not defending it at all. It probably could have been better. I'm not saying that at all. Yeah, definitely could have been better.
For sure.
Well, there were a lot of things on, I think, because there were so many things on in Perth. People.
That's right. You didn't have an excuse. You went to a partyless party.
On Saturday night. Yeah, that's true.
You should have been at the cricket.
Could have gone back to the hill.
Could have got in line for Sunday.
What did you think of the hill?
Yeah, it was all right.
I thought it was great.
It was good fun. So there were two articles I wanted to point out. Sky News did an article from Jack Mahoney. It said Western Australia slammed for incredibly poor and pathetic. So that was in quotations. So he was quoting someone. Turned out to the Perth test between Australia and Pakistan. Now, he clickbaited me, this guy Jack Mahoney, and I clicked on it. Now, keep in mind, he's probably like an underling at Sky News, you know, getting like F all per year, and he has to pump out these sort of clickbait articles. So I respect the grind. Well done to you. But that incredibly poor and pathetic quote was from at BMW Fan Forever 12, who collectively has 29 followers. I mean, do we take his? It made it sound like it was coming from fucking Mark War or something. And then we have to scroll down the page and find it. The other quote was from like Aussie Statistics 123 or some shit, and it said the same thing.
When you guys went to journalism school,
yeah, go on.
Did they teach you any morals? Are there any laws around, like, you know, where you grab things from?
Well, you could manufacture, if you have 34, you can manufacture a fake account and then just go and quote that, and then he's got his story. There was another one too, claiming Justin Langer's axing a year ago had an impact on the crowd numbers that people were still upset about it. Now, Christina Matthews, who's the CEO of The Whack, has said that potentially. I thought that was a pretty long connection to make. I don't think people are sitting around at home going, oh, I just feel for JL still.
I saw people in line at Optus, they're about to go in, they said, you know what? Because of JL, I'm leaving.
There was a line?
In the masses leaving. They got there and then they all changed their minds.
But it was a good vibe regardless. Mitch Marsh.
They collectively remembered the JL sacking.
I rolled over to the cricket a couple hours later because I had work and I called Josh. I was like, oh, can you send me a ticket through? And then I think 15 minutes later, Josh calls me and goes, where are you? I went, just waiting for you to send my fucking ticket through, mate. Hurry up.
Security guys warming up before the game like an actual cricket team, all in sync, doing their toe touches and stuff. That was quite good.
Don't want to pull a hammy, do you?
Don't want to pull a hammy where you sit down for the whole day.
Can we get around the Bison, player of the match?
Well done to you.
He's an horse.
And a lot of people were saying Mitch Marsh potentially a couple of years ago wasn't good enough for the test side. Laughable.
Very interesting reception of David Warner. Mate, yeah, there's a lot of we did hear a lot of negative comments about David Warner and people going, oh, he gets out for a duck. And then, you know what? When he got a century, I stood up and applauded because he's fighting for our country.
Okay.
Harry, you're good.
You're a real nerd.
You're good.
It was actually quite interesting, the split. Like, three guys on our table were pretty wasted and actually kind of dickheads, actually. And they were two of them. They stole your sign.
That I made a Head Hill sign and then that guy, that old bloke stole it and got some great TV time.
And he wasted it. And then he was on FaceTime the entire fucking test.
Yeah, it's because he's famous now.
Update on the golfing numbers. You know, we mentioned last week how there was an article about how all the handicaps for the golfers. Well, we had an inside scoop on the weekend. We got kind of a scoop on the actual golf numbers. So we heard word that Steve Smith and Marnus Labuschagne and also David Warner played golf at Cottesloe Golf Club. David Warner, incredible golfer, probably very close to scratch handicap, which it was said in the original thing. But Steve Smith, who was listed around 8 or 9, was more around 60, some of the guys playing with him. And nothing wrong with him. He's still learning the sport. A lot of guys picked it up in India during the World Cup. So that article is a big load of shit, I think.
Yeah, I didn't know sports gossip had started. But good work, investigative. Very good. Very good.
Keep your ear to the ground. Final thing was Kerr O'Keefe is the highlight of all this. Like, we were at the ground on Friday seeing clips of Kerr O'Keefe's antics on the broadcast, thinking like, oh, fuck, I wish I was just watching the broadcast.
The other big talking point was the stumping, run out, dismissal, call what you like, of Johnny Bairstow. The repercussions are still being felt about this. Scull, you're sitting home watching. Are you giving him out?
Of course I am. Right. Yeah, exactly. You treat the popping crease as Julian Assange treated the Ecuadorian embassy. You just don't leave it.
You've been sitting on that one.
I have.
It's
unsafe.
That was day one as well.
His carry-on's even better. Like the laugh like in this one here is ripping on one of his New Zealander co-commentators. I think it's Ian Smith. And it doesn't matter how shit the joke is. The carry-on laugh just makes you crack up because he loves it so much.
One of seven brothers, of course, Shaheen Sharafridi. His other brother, Riaz, was a very formidable bowler, terrific first-class record. You know, when he was young, if Pakistan lost a test match, he didn't eat for 2 days. What did you do when New Zealand lost, Smithy? That's a seriously early punch. Kerry O'Keefe.
You wait for 48 hours.
That's more than a jab. My God. Got to get in early.
Go and watch the footage if you can, because you can see Carrie just setting himself up
to
explode that joke.
Oh, it's the wheezing. If you see any more over the summer, they don't get picked up. He also like does so much research, obviously, so he's a fantastic commentator. I'm excited to see pretty much that more than anything within this series.
Oh, and shout out to Gaz Lyon, 500 wickets, eighth in the world, third Australian after Glenn McGrath and Shane Keith Warne. Oh, you're a number.
Welcome to Nothing with the Week. Bit more cricket in this one. The first one, though, is around Jo Weston, friend of the pod. She was announcing basically the agreement with Netball Australia that they'd come to with the players. They had a pay dispute for a very long time. It was very traumatic. It was quite sad, you know what I mean? Like these guys, they tried for so long to get just a living wage and they feel like they're almost there. So congratulations to them. And she got a lot of support in the comments. And we like it when usernames don't necessarily match what the support is, okay? Yeah. So this is the message in support of Jo Weston after Netball Australia's agreement was finally reached. Congratulations on the hard work and perseverance for finally paying off. We love you all. It's really nice.
Words are kind sometimes.
It's admirable for them to go out of their comfort zone.
Mm.
That was from Poo Poo PP.
Okay.
It's a solid one to start.
Yeah, you know what? At least it's PJ. At least it's PJ.
Well, yeah, thank you for that. The second one I had was around Ben Silvani. So he's the brother of Jack Silvani and the son of Big Silvani. I forget his name. Stephen Silvani.
Big Silvani.
That works.
So he's been training with Collingwood. I don't know if he's signed with them or not, but he's, yeah, having a run around. But he got delisted quite a few years back. It was, you know, an unfortunate run. Potentially could have had a career with Blues if things roll a different way. And Braids 02 wrote,
"Traitor turns back on own blood."
No.
Senator Carlton supporter wrote, "What are you smoking? Blues delisted him. Good luck to wherever he ends up." Well, Braids is fired back. You know, he's pretty fired up.
Not backing down.
Yeah, he said,
"Doesn't matter, wasn't good enough, clearly. Still don't turn back on own blood. Who gave him a decent chance and gone to arch rival enemy?"
How dare he?
Ben Silvani replied, "What club would you like me to play at, Braids?"
He actually replied.
He replied directly to the thread. Hold on to him. You guys have any him?
Well, you've got to ask sometimes, don't you?
I'm going to nominate actual Perth Now itself for this headline. West Coast Eagles defender Tom Barras announces engagement to partner and mother Nadia Rosa.
Right. Okay. So.
Well, to each their own.
I see what's going on. I see what's going on here.
Just rewrite it.
Well, I mean, there's different cultures in that.
Well, to each their own. Actually, good reporting then on an article on whether the crowd was, you know, shit at Optus. One guy wrote, "I wouldn't watch cricket if you gave me a free ticket and an air-conned private room to do so. Like any form of sport, not a fan."
Come on.
Oh, sorry, I don't think he's the target audience. Ari Schoenmaker had one. So Ari Schoenmaker is St Kilda rookie. He's just signed with them. someone tagged us in this, and this is his grandma chiming in. "Love it, grandson."
No. Oh, yeah, good.
And so's his mum.
I'm going to start doing that. Just pretend to be people's grandfathers.
Go for it.
Zach Bext commented on a post that the West Coast Eagles put up. Just a few guys training, just, you know, including Harley Reid.
Oh, yeah,
know?
Cool.
Oh, yeah, we made
Zach said, "Reid's looking a bit happy for a team he apparently didn't want to go to."
Wow.
Yeah, but Glad Ferrell commented, "Hey, Zach Bext, he never said he didn't want to come to the Eagles. How many times does he have to say that? He didn't say that."
Some of the funniest this week was there was like the WWE coming to Perth. They've only sold about 7,000 tickets or something. It'll probably end up selling out. But there's a clash, a key West Coast game. I think it might be Harley Reid's debut the same day as the WWE clash.
Yes, but that is a practice match.
Oh, right.
That's a practice match.
So not cares. So anyway, someone brought up to them that, "Oh, do you know this is happening?" And then because they're WWE, you know, you got to sell the show. So they said something quite funny. It was the back page of the paper, sillily. And there were legitimate West Coast fans firing up, being like, "Who the fuck is this guy? Yeah. Well, how dare he, this Dominic Mysterio? Who the fuck is he?"
It was almost what he said was almost scripted from the promo people.
Oh my God.
Like it was.
They're going to be wrestling for viewers on the day.
The final one was just someone that sent in, a couple of people have sent this, is the Detroit Pistons. They're having one of the worst seasons of their, I guess, their entire franchise history.
I think they're about to lose 23 games in a row or something like that.
Unbelievable. Historically terrible team despite, you know, having top draft picks every year, but they're just not bringing it together, not making it happen. There's so much talent so in the NBA right now. Just Bricks, later on in the week, a basketball podcast. But someone posed on Twitter, should the Pistons consider killing 5 of their players to initiate a disaster draft? So a disaster draft occurs when 5 or more players have been killed or dismembered in normally a transport tragedy, like a plane crash or a car crash, a bus crash or something. So a special disaster draft would be held where NBA team could only protect 5 players. All the other teams, can only protect 5 players, and then you can draft like the 6th man or more to try and top out your team.
There's some good bench role players out there, trust me.
But it's just started a thread. A lot of people are saying you're a terrible person, but a lot of people are saying, well, okay, if we are going to kill any, who should we kill? We'd kill some two-way players, and then we'd kill a deep bench player, and then we can potentially pick up some 6th men of the year from around the league, and that would really help the Pistons.
Imagine the conversation. Okay, we need the following guys going into the small plane. Jay Wiseman.
Oh my God.
M. Bagley, you're on this plane.
Calls up, Mama, I made it. I made it the NBA. I'm on $1 million a year. Wow. Hang on a second. I just got to catch this light plane that smells like gasoline.
This is the perfect way to end Nuffy of the Week for 2023 because it doesn't scream anything more than sport being more important than actual human life.
That's a good point. This episode is proudly brought to you by our mates at Ned's.
Josh, do you give out many tips?
Sometimes.
Who's your source?
Well, normally Sam McClure. Like he's, he's really good. Like I backed Harley Reid not to make it in West Coast colours, and this year just anything he says, I go the opposite.
Congrats! It's a good option. Hey, I've got
What about you?
Have you got a brother-in-law?
No.
You need a brother-in-law for your tips, mate. That's I get mine from. Yeah,
I could ask my brother to divorce his wife, and then we can see how we go. But
that'd be the first step, wouldn't it?
I need to speak to Georgie too. He's always real confident with his tips, but they never ever come off. Now, if you're looking for a one-stop shop for social betting, check out the Neds app. You can create groups perfect for betting together and ripping on your mates. And if you think you found a winner, you can let them know.
Or you might be looking for a hot tip.
And you can build a profile and share your bets with your followers.
Or you can see what other punters are like on the feed.
There's also expert tips on everything AFL from the fantasy pick himself, Tom Rotcliffe, within the Neds AFL Open Group.
It's not just for AFL though, Josh. There are other open groups for racing, b-ball, UFC, soccer, and he's more.
Download the Neds app if you haven't already and take it to the Neds level. T's and C's apply and available on the Neds website. You win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
What if the GM was like, that happens and the GM's like, oh God, tragic. Anyway, Commissioner, so we've got our list of players that we're going to be taking. Here it is. I had it ready.
I think Daryl Morey might be that level of like psycho with trying to better his team. Just got a bit of update. Disaster drafts are all around the major leagues, but they've all started since the advent of modern mass transportation. This is via the Wikipedia. And some of the major tragedies were the Torino 1949 football club that only had one survivor in a plane crash. 2 teams from the Canadian Football League lost players returning from the All-Star game 1 year. So imagine you have an All-Star dying. That'd be horrendous. Other instance, the Manchester United 1958, Cal Poly, an entire college football team. The United States figure skating team, the Wichita State University football team, multiple college teams.
Please stop reading out deaths.
That's a lot of tragedy.
Most notably, most recently, the 2018 Humboldt Broncos ice hockey team.
There was an entire Brazilian, I can't remember if you read it out, there's a Brazilian football team not long ago.
How does the disaster draft work for this podcast?
Oh, you had to keep 2 of us.
Who would we bring
in? What would you do? Would you kill one? Would you kill 2?
I think there's...
Or just 3 completely replaced?
Based on the comments I get a lot of kill Josh or kill Harry or kill Georgia. So we've got a split audience. But I think most of them is put Georgia on a pedestal and just fire bullets through the tall guys.
Sounds good to me.
Well, we've got a soundproof room now, so it'd be good for that anyway.
I get to draft Joe Rogan for the pod when you guys die, legally.
Oh yeah, but he'd be taller than you. It'd be so weird. He's 5'7".
We take Grant Denyer. He's a podcasting wizard.
Oh my God.
I say, Charles, Tottenham playing the most wonderful style of football. It's that Australian fellow, isn't it?
And ball. Pack the box, score our goal. Pack the box, score our goal.
W for Anjan, yes, our boys.
Yes.
2-0 against Nottingham Forest. Yes. Had to really grind this game out. It wasn't a pretty win. They were in 10 men for the last 30 minutes. But Bissouma with the red card, I think he's facing like a 4-game ban. It was a really, really nasty, like, studs up challenge that got his red card. So facing more absences, Harry.
Does Bissouma plays for us? Yes, that was terrible.
Yeah, us. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that was terrible.
They're also, it looks like they're going to be missing Heung-min Son for a few weeks.
No!
He's going to the Asia Cup with South Korea, and it just clashes with with the Premier League. So
who wrote his contract?
Wait, they don't allow that. That's not part of the FIFA break.
No. So some of the like national tournaments like Africa Cup of Nations and Asia Cup are in January while the Premier League is still going.
So let me guess, the European Cup, they stop?
Yes, they do. Because...
fuck this.
Yeah.
Are you leaving again?
Harry's leaving. That's bullshit.
How was Ange after? He's been saying mate a lot lately.
Mate.
What do you reckon, mate? It's just who we are, mate. I was a bank teller, mate.
Introduce yourself first, mate.
Compiling all the times he says mate. He says it a lot.
Does he? I bet. I think it's like what he's known for. Tough couple months ahead with, I think, a few more guys out for Spurs. So
hypothetically, what would be seen as a failure this year for them?
I think if they don't make Champions League.
Plane crash?
Plane crash.
I'm back,
by the way. But then they get the draft.
That's right.
I think not making Champions League top four would be upsetting for them.
Breakups, hookups, scandals.
We know your darkest secrets.
Sports gossip. Sports gossip.
We're back, guys. We are back, and you are not going to believe this week's sports gossip.
What?
You are not going to believe sports gossip this week. Hey, guys, quick question. What's the most important thing in the whole entire world? Just what do you think? What do you think?
Friends.
Yeah. Chrissy do and don'ts?
Hit it.
I was close with friends.
You were close.
I was close because in a way, family, close. Like they are.
Guys, the PNC Championship over at the Ritz-Carlton Golf Club in Orlando was going down over the weekend. It's the annual, they call it the Hits and Giggles Tournament.
The Mauritian Open was also
PNC.
It was, but that one wasn't all about family because this one is. It's where professional golfers play with their family member.
Oh.
It is just brilliant. John Daly teed it up with his son John Daly the second.
He's pretty good, isn't he, though?
He is.
I'd wager he's more than the second John Daly. Anyway, as
there might be a few around, yeah. Anyway, in that bloodline. Then they celebrated, those two celebrated at the end of the weekend by supporting their sponsors. Guess where, guys? Hooters.
Who's their sponsor?
Yeah, they're both sponsored by Hooters. It's funny, brilliant. Yeah, watch out. You're not going to believe this though, guys.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll leave.
You're not going to believe it.
I can't wait till my day gets better and we can go to Hooters together.
That'd be awesome. I'll come. Tiger Woods once again played with his son, Charlie.
I'll cheer you back.
Yeah, I came back.
Charlie Woods and Tiger Woods teed it up, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie is looking better and better each year, as you would hope for like a teenager. Like, you got better at golf, especially if you've got someone like Tiger Woods at your disposal for a coach.
And his genetics.
This guy is good, though. A lot of hype around him, but he was bombing some drives past the green on par fours.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, the shorter ones. But anyway, but there's one part of this you're not going to believe. And I can't believe it either.
You crap.
Giorgio. Tiger had someone caddy for him for the first time over the weekend. And as I was saying before, what's the most important thing, right? Family. Mm-hmm. His daughter, Sam Woods.
Aww.
Isn't that just absolutely beautiful?
That makes me hell happy.
Why do you look like you want to end it all then?
A couple,
guys, the rumor mill is spinning, right? With Nike set to end a deal with a bunch of its golfers.
Oh my God.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry.
Was the PNC Championship the last time that we see Tiger Woods donning the swoosh? Will Tiger Woods be swooshless next year?
Do you think that would impact his game?
Well, he won't wear cool hats and shirts anymore.
He's been with Nike for like, what, 25
30,
years?
30 years. Yeah, about 30 years.
He was like one of the big ones when LeBron was signing with a big brand.
Anyway. F and shame was when Nike stopped making golf equipment. They made these clubs.
Were they good?
They were cool. Yeah, Tiger used them up till 2016.
You still find some Nike golf balls around.
Yeah, yeah, there's a few of those around. And also you do see a couple of clubs. They're rare and expensive now. There's a couple of clubs firing around. But you know what we need to do now? Is head over to Ali Pally. Yes, the Darts World Championships are underway in the UK at Alexandra Palace. The fans again donning some amazing costumes. Is this one of sport's biggest bucket list events?
I really want to go. It was in Perth once. I didn't go and our friends had a great time. And the guys that all live in England have a fantastic time when they go to it.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Also, seeing Russ Bray in the flesh scream 180 would just send shivers down the spine of any beer drinker. Now, you're not going to believe how two-time world championship Peter Snakebite Wright has
try
been...
Me. Has try
been,
me.
You're not going to believe how he's been spending his more than $5.5 million in prize money over the years. Okay?
Is that what you mean from darts?
This guy's done well. Oh, gee. There's some money in darts, my friend.
I thought they all are like plumbers and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. There's some of them. You know what they are above all? Humble guys. First of all, what do you guys spend? Would you spend your money on if you had $5.5 million lying around? What would you spend it on?
I'd probably be, I don't know.
Yeah, Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd donate it anyway.
Well, sports gossip can reveal that Snakebite's wife and manager, Joanne, has given him a strict weekly budget. When asked about it, Snakebite said, "I get my £212 per week and just like playing darts and trying to win trophies."
Bullseye.
£212 a week for $5.5 million.
Yeah, that's what he gets.
It seems like, what
so
does
that,
she get?
So that must be his like disposable. She probably gets bloody heaps. She also does his hair. It takes a couple hours before each tournament doing his hair. He's got a famous mohawk.
And we've spoken about hair, am I right?
Well, that's the thing. It's just the family supporting the family. And you know what they say is the most important thing?
Yeah, yeah. What is it?
Well, it's this. It's bloody this.
Just a short headlines this week. This week we have a small investigation. On the last episode of The Main Body, Kick It Forward, we had someone email in and say, hey, what happened to Picket Palace, the amazing Australian sort of garage band? Well, 4 years ago, the Melbourne band called Picket Palace made quite a stir with their AFL-themed album, but soon after, they vanished without a trace. That's right. Scared?
Terrified.
Where'd they go? Yeah. Roll the tape?
No.
Okay.
This week, we've had a couple of people reach out and with links to the band, and their frontman, Seamus, has agreed to break his silence on the pod.
Roll the tape.
Roll.
Yes.
No, but they also have a reunion show on the 27th of roll December the, and they need to break the silence
roll the tape.
For that too.
Roll the tape.
So here it is, the story of Picket Palace.
Roll out of the tape.
Honestly, like the footy songs kept coming up kind of by accident. Like we had a full record out before the footy one. Like we wouldn't like form as a footy band. But when we were writing the first record, we kept just like coming up with footy references and footy songs and all that kind of thing. And my brother, he was just like, look, why don't we just like put that all on hold and we'll just do like a little 8, 9, however many songs we come up with, we'll do one footy record as our next one and then we'll never do another footy song again.
4 years ago in Melbourne, what started as a joke from a footy-loving punk band ended up captivating the AFL public.
G'day.
That's lead singer from Picket Palace and Carlton fan Seamus, who wrote all the songs from the 2019 EP, The Footy Record, with his brother and band member Jack.
We were just musos, and then we just loved footy, so we just did it. We just did a record about footy. We never really, that was never meant to be the point. But then if someone goes, oh, you want to come on Channel 7 and play on that front bar, you're not going to say no, hey, like.
It's about Anthony McDonald, Tim Woody. It's by the Picket Palace.
That's right. Who knew? We needed a punk rock song. About Anthony, Tim Woody.
The game was crying out for it. We didn't even know. And the Picket Palace boys are here tonight.
There's like a great Paul Kelly quote where he says, there's only two things worth writing songs about, love and cricket. And we chose footy. If we'd chosen fucking cricket, we would have been touring India for the rest of our lives. Like, it's so dumb.
I had some hints, like the one about Essendon star Anthony McDonald Tippin Woody called Anthony McDonald Tippin Woody. Their emotional ballad, Prior Opportunity. finally, a tribute to Tigers forward and seven commentator Matthew Richardson called Richo. Richo.
To him, if not, you're gonna cop a spray. You'll probably get it anyway. Who's that one out in the square?
Yeah, Richo. The Richo one's the favourite. Just like, cause like Waller was like the loveliest bloke. He's a real shy, kind of quiet guy. Like every time we met him, I sort of felt like maybe I was almost like worried that we'd embarrassed him somewhat by putting him in the, do you know what I mean? By kind of making him like front and centre. Like I almost felt bad for the bloke. But
Channel 7 and the Tigers organised the guys to come and make a film clip during a Friday night footy game between Essendon and Richmond with Richo himself.
But Richo, you could tell, loved it. And also because we were a band and like Richo loves music. We met up with Richo to make the video, and I'm like sitting there being like, right, who's the hardest halfback you ever played on? And he just looks at me and goes, do you know Animal in the Sniffers? Like, do you know what I mean? And he just wants to ask music questions, and we just want to ask footy questions. So it was getting absolutely nowhere. But like, it was really fun hanging out with Richo.
Is that you dressed in full Tigers kit?
I can say all this now as well. Richmond was that stingy with it all. They kept the tags on the things because they wanted to take it back and sell it again at the Richmond shop. They wouldn't even, because I wanted to get the top and get Richo to sign it and then like have it. They made me keep the tags on the things so they could take it back to the shop and resell it.
That's absolutely bullshit.
I got one take along the wing on a Friday night in the wet and I bounced it and it came straight back to me. That's one take. I bounced it in the wet on the G. Bounced it in the wet on the G. I'll always stand by that.
Footy songs weren't the plan, but they're having a decent crack. Even planning a big tour. And then a fucking pandemic.
COVID, man. Because we're in Melbourne, so it was so restrictive. So we had a bunch of like sort of touring stuff to all set up and show set up like as like support stuff to go with other bands. And then, in about like February, March of 2020, they were like, oh, look, nothing's going to happen with all those ones. And we're like, oh, well, when can we book them all again? They're like, we don't know. And then eventually, like, oh, we're going to put a song out. We're like, well, we don't have any songs. They're like, well, you're going to have to record them, like, you know, from home. But we don't, half of us didn't even live together and stuff. So, yeah, it was a whole thing. So, it just sort of broke up. And then halfway through COVID, my brother moved to Darwin. Never moved back. So, we just sort of, don't really do it anymore. But, yeah, that's it, really. We did the maths, I think. We used to not talk about, like, money or anything like that because we had, like, labels and all this shit, you know, managers and everyone was telling us to shut the fuck up about everything. And we were like, well, okay, we better be good because we were just sort of scared of the industry and everything. Mm. But I reckon we did the maths and somehow after, like, everything that we did, performance fees and all that, I think we ended up with, like, 13 grand in the bank account. We're like, oh, okay. And there's five of us. So like, oh, right, that was, like, a year's worth. Like, I reckon we lost money by taking time off work to do it.
But they do have a reunion show on the 27th of December, live at Shock Kickers in Thornbury. They may even have some new songs.
Yeah, I always wanted to write a song about, like, Cripper, but I reckon it'll be, like, it'd be too obvious on a Carlton fan, you know what I mean? Like, I'd be like, look at his arms, lick him. You can't, you know what I mean?
Mr. President, can this wait? I've got bigger fish to fry.
God bless my friend Harry.
Harry's Big House.
Bad boys.
God damn it.
What you gonna do when they come for you?
God damn it.
You okay?
Guys, there's no phones in this courtroom. Josh, excuse me. Order.
Be present.
Sorry. I know I said last week that it was going to be the last case for 2023, but you're not going to believe it. A case came across my inbox that I simply could not ignore. Also, I just want to quickly mention something about the Big House emails. I genuinely do enjoy reading the cases, and a lot of the listeners that write in are seriously good wordsmiths. I also appreciate how much time is put into these emails, as some of them are actual essays. Like the one I'm about to read from Mike was 1,000 words.
Oh. Legitimately?
Yeah, I did a word check. I've done a little bit of paraphrasing. Michael, first of all, thanks for the brilliant read. And don't worry, I'll get the important details out without using up all the pod time on the Big House. Also, boys, this is going to be a very unique case in that I actually still haven't worked out if this person is guilty or not guilty.
Oh, okay. This is new.
I'm going to be opening it up for discussion after presenting the evidence
and then a majority vote will determine the outcome.
Oh, yeah.
Feel free to take notes as you go, okay? Michael says, "Dear Harry, I come to you with a case that has just arisen as I indict one of my dog mates for an act that defies belief. For the sake of anonymity, let's call this mate Bryce." Then in brackets, Michael writes, "His real name is also Bryce, but no one would ever think it's his real name if we say it's his anonymous name."
Smart.
Yeah, probably wasn't supposed to read that one yet again. Okay, now this is where I'm going to take over and present the crucial evidence because we haven't got all day to read this story out. Bit of actually countryside fun adventure music. We're going to go down to Tasmania. A couple of years ago, Michael and his mates organised and paid for a golf trip, right? Flights are common, two rounds of golf at Barnboogle and Tassie for Bryce's 30th birthday, all included.
I've heard that's amazing.
Stunning.
Oh, you know what? It's not the first time Barnboogle's come up in the big house. So Bryce is an avid golfer and the rest of the crew are all shit. This is a seriously good gift, by the way. Barnboogle again. As Michael says, the Australia's holy grail of golf. Michael also went above and beyond by buying Bryce a 6-iron because his was bent and broken after an unfortunate outing to the driving range with his missus. Okay, I'm actually going to go back and quote Michael directly here. "The weekend was a grand success with plenty of beers, laughs, and horrendous golf being played that was frankly an insult to the hallowed fairways that we had the privilege to stand on." Okay, now I'm actually going to continue with Michael's words as well, as this is where the dog act comes in. Michael says, "You may be asking, why such a long preamble of events from 2 years ago for a case that you are only now presenting to the court? The testimony of the events of the weekend are only positive, so where are the grounds for trial?" Is that what you guys were thinking as well?
Yes.
Yeah, when I was reading it, I was going, why are there 600 words before we get to the dog act? But they were important.
The context of what was laid down.
Successful weekend, brilliant present, and a brilliant bonus present with the 6-iron. "The allegation I would like to present," says Michael, "to the courtroom is not of any act that occurred during said boys' trip, but of recent events that have transpired as of the 14th of December, 2023. In the boys' chat on the day in question, Bryce posted a photo, proudly announcing the purchase of a new set of clubs, just in time for the summer season, an early Christmas present to himself. In the spirit of the festive season and as an act of generosity, he was offering the boys first dibs on any of his old clubs, free to a good home, before he would, quote, try to flog them on Marketplace. On initial receipt of the message, the boys got around him and were keen to take up the kind offer. But what sat behind a supposedly philanthropic gesture was what I allege to be a blatant dog act of the highest order." Order.
Oh no.
Order. "I present to the court a key piece of evidence, a photo that was posted to the group, an image of the set of clubs that were up for grabs laid out in a row. If I can direct the judge's attention to the third club from the left, sitting in plain sight is the 6-iron that had been gifted to him less than 2 years ago as the 30th birthday club."
Oh my God, I can see it right there.
There it is.
The 6-iron, was it?
Yes, it was the 6-iron.
Oh, it's not an up. It's not a 9, and it's not upside down. Right?
Trust me, yeah. Six, I'm bloody good with those.
"My heart was ripped away from my chest," says Michael. "Did the events of 2 years ago mean nothing? Were all the good times shared just a distant memory that can simply be given away or flogged for a quick buck on Marketplace? He had no regard in offering to give away or sell a gift that had been given to him in the same chat with the person who gave it to him in the first place. I asked the courtroom and honourable judge, am I being too sensitive or is this an act of betrayal and blatant disregard for sentimentality that deserves proper punishment to be handed down? Regards, Michael," and in brackets he says, "anonymous name, or is it?" Anyway, guys, that's the case. And before I get your opinions, I just want to know what emotions you're feeling about this.
First up, I'm aghast.
Joking.
Secondly,
if someone's aghast in this courtroom, it usually means something not great has happened.
That's right. I don't know. I just think, Giorgio,
I'm too sad to even speak.
Well, I think that he was given it in a moment of weakness. This guy stood up.
That's right.
And he had an opportunity to stood up. Now, stand up. Now, they might be Nike clubs.
They're not.
Okay. As the evidence you saw.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Suggested. I
mean, what if they were Nike clubs?
Correct.
And that could have quite been the case. What do you think of this dog acts here? There's a couple of things at play here. Mm-hmm. Selling the clubs back to the group. Mm. In the group chat. I want to hear right now. Giorgio first. Guilty or not guilty?
I think he's guilty. I don't think you should sell something to your mates that were given to you. I think that's
okay.
I think that's in clear and breach of the Dog Act.
Remember, this is a majority vote. So,
so I have the deciding vote.
Yes. Well, actually, yeah, it doesn't matter which way we go. So, Josh, go for it.
I didn't want to bring up Beer Dead again. Giorgio's been great, and we probably went too far. But this kind of is golf club debt.
Okay.
I know more than anyone what it's like to be wronged. Bit of pageantry.
They do this in courtrooms.
Guilty.
Oh! Yep. Okay.
I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I don't know if that screws up your hearing or it does more, the paperwork probably.
The burden of conviction is a heavy one.
Guys, I've actually just decided to have a vote of myself, and that's going to be the ruling decision.
Oh, so you don't care?
No, I've changed the rules.
I appreciate you making us feel
I've important. Changed the rules. Can I get a drum roll, please?
Another one? How long?
Short one.
Shortest one I've got. Oh. Thanks. Not guilty.
What?
Hold on. One more drum roll, please.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I'm swearing in this courtroom. Will not be tolerated. And guilty.
Yes.
It's a combo. Yes. It's a combo for the first time in the history of the Big House. It's amazing how many first times we have in the Big House. Okay, I'll run you through it. It's going to be clear to you in a sec.
I'm it. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you see things we can't.
I'm confused as hell.
This is why I sit in the chair I'm sitting in, guys. Order. Bryce's actions of posting the club to the group chat. Not good, okay? That's disgusting. He's so guilty there. But
why is he guilty?
Why is he guilty? Because it's a slap in the body face. It's no respect.
Why? Because you should be giving it for free in your eyes.
Free would have been, yes. Okay, if you're giving away free, or if you wanted to do it maybe, you know, on the sly, marketplace, sure, but don't post the ad into the group chat, okay? And you're going to understand why he's not guilty of wanting to sell the clubs, because there was a couple of allegations here. There's a number of factors that come into play here, and they'll already be clear to the regular golfer. But first of all, let's talk about presence. You buy someone a restaurant voucher for $100. They go to the restaurant and buy $100 worth of food and drinks. The voucher is done. You buy a 5-year-old a bike for their birthday. Then they turn 6. Then they turn 7. Do you realize how fast kids grow up? Do you? Mm. Order. That bike will be useless to them after a couple of years. The gift is finished. In fact, it might get to a point where it's just taking up space in the garage.
It's weird. I still use my 5-year-old bike.
Reverse order to that. So you might look at selling that bike. Let's talk about the 6-iron. Bryce, an avid golfer, was no doubt improving his skills and ready to upgrade his clubs. Referring back to my other gift examples, the present use is concluded. The other thing worth noting is that when it comes to irons, it's nice to have the same brand for at least the 4-iron to the pitching wedge. It looks nicer in the bag and they feel the same. That 6-iron is a different brand and stuck out like a sore thumb in the lineup. Again, not denying it was an extremely good gift at the time. Michael, you mentioned sentimentality and I liked it, but I think the best gift you gave that day was in fact the trip itself and the memories of a fantastic barn burner in Barnburgle that will last a lifetime. So Bryce gets a micro punishment for trying to sell the gift back to his friends in the group chat. Bryce, next time you play golf, you must play the entire first hole with your putter. Okay. I think that's fair. Order. Michael, I would hate for Bryce to countersue you after being found not guilty of trying to sell the club. Charges for defamation could easily come your way, and charges for wasting the court's precious time may also be thrown around. Michael, seeing as though this 6-iron has a lot of sentimental value to you, you must get your hands on it, cut the head from the shaft and make a golf trophy out of it, which will be used for future events. This trophy will be called the Barnburgle Barnburner Bryce Birthday 6-iron Memorial Trophy in memory of the 6-iron. That way the memories live on and everyone's a winner. Case closed, and please keep the big house emails coming in. But in the future, if the word limit could be 250, that would be most excellent. And remember, we're also extremely welcoming of the most petty cases, like someone ate your avocado out of the work fridge and you got sad. Thank you for listening.
Dear Muscles.
Hello,
g'day, superstars.
Cold regards.
You've got mail.
Welcome to Mail It In, where we hear from you, the fans. A couple of IRLs. We'll get to you guys in a second. I had Harvey, Stevie, Dan the Man, Reese, Alex Jarrah, and fucker. I think I was munted at this point and I couldn't see what I wrote.
Well done on the names. Can I just do a blanket IRL shout out to everyone I had a chat to?
Oh, yeah, blanket?
Yeah, blanket.
Lay a blanket all over. Are we allowed to say munted?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Are we?
Yeah, munted. What's wrong with that?
Who do we need to check with?
Google? Check with internet.
Hang on, let's have a look.
Are we allowed to say? I'd really like to know, because if it's, you know, it's quite a harsh term. It's quite a useful term.
Oh, no, we can. Under the influence of alcohol or drugs or badly damaged.
Perfect.
Yeah, munted.
Was definitely munted. Munted continues. They haven't got that one yet. Yeah, but other than that, beep, 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 beep are all also banned.
I've got an IRL shout out.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Shout out to listener Tom, who's actually a mate of yours, apparently, Harry. Walked into a little Japanese place that I go to in the city. I buy my lunch. And there's a bloke sitting there eating his lunch. He turns his phone to me and he's listening to the Kick It Forward podcast.
I assume he's unemployed.
Well, no, I think he was on a lunch break and trying to get away from all the hubbub with our soothing voices.
He's a big dog in the business world and the Beats world.
No shit.
Yeah.
The Barndoogle Barnburner. I really like that name.
Thank you so much.
It's a motherfucking Barnburner.
I can't wait to see the trophy. I can't wait to see the trophy. Seriously. Lewis Blake writes in. Thank you, Lewis. Was that good? I guess that lying to McDonald's staff and saying you're allergic to the soft serve cone to make your own aftermarket McFlurry doesn't count as a scheme. What a lanky, hypocritical stinge. I guess this is referring to
an old one.
Who could that be?
From last week's episode.
Who's the lanky hypocrite here that calls me for being a stinge and stinge corner and yet cheats the McDonald's system?
You're one of us, bro. You're a munted wit, mate.
Mate, hey, it's a good thing. You're a hustler after all.
No,
embrace it.
I don't mind McDonald's schemes. They're pretty successful. You know what? I'll wear the hypocrite stinge title. Everyone hates hypocrites more than anything. That's why we get angry at politicians and Eddie Jones for being a hypocrite. I think, yeah, I wronged you. I also do my other one, which is when they sell hamburgers on special, I add cheese and I get a 150 cheeseburger. What of it?
That's
sometimes
awesome.
They make you put it on the side and then you just put it in after and it makes a mess.
You are just oozing cool right now. And,
yeah,
and you're like the mayor of Don't Give a F*** Town, bro.
Yeah.
Whoa,
yeah,
can you not fucking swear on this pod?
Sorry.
Say flip.
Sorry.
Hey, guys, you know,
you sound munted.
It's nearly Christmas.
Yeah, let's get munted.
Or should I say
Pissmas.
Look at this
email about piss.
I got sent this many times. One of them, I'll just pick out one. Jesse says, hey guys, hate the pod, but still a pissner. Thanks, Jesse. Found Giorgio's TikTok burner account. This is a TikTok page called Scenic Pisses and is exactly what it says it is on the cover. It's just clips of like the most scenic, beautiful pisses around the world. It's really nice. So there's one, it's just like pissing with Mount Rushmore in the background. The comments are things like, good to see my man staying hydrated. Nice flow, nice view. Guys, you got like, what's the nicest piss you've had? Any like recent pisses you've had where you're like, this is an insanely nice view to be having a piss.
Your bed was pretty good.
Yeah.
It is a nice view.
Your toothbrush next to the sink was good. Had a good piss on a fjord once. That was pretty good. But there were a lot of fjord pisses. But they love fjord pisses on the scenic piss. I got sent it quite a lot as well. It's good. It's been blowing up the last week. So I don't know if we've added to that or taken away from it.
Added.
Have you added any? Where was your greatest scenic piss, G?
There's a few in Italy that stand out. Like when you're up in the mountains in Italy and you turn around, you're like, this is $1 million piss right now.
This is also bloody scenic.
There's a bar in Perth. I can't remember if it's the Lucky Shag, I think, the Lucky Shag in Perth.
Yes.
No, you turn around at the urinal and there's like genuinely the best views of Perth City.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. That. And you know, a scenic piece is very good. It's very, because you know, you're away from it at all. You're having a real think.
Look at you getting it on piss chat.
Oh, not really, but I've made
Hey,
well.
There's another piss email there, Josh.
Okay.
Wunderbar, my friend. Welcome to Russia. Howdy, partner. Asian one.
International nerd.
Oh, yeah, Dan from Noon Man. He sent me a Dan. Morning, gentlemen. I'm not sure if you guys are aware, but the train strikes are going on in London at the moment. If not, I'll self-nominate myself to fill you in. The Elizabeth line, good line. Had a power failure last week, trapping the passengers inside for up to 4 hours. Whilst being trapped for 4 hours, it was inevitable that a buildup of bodily fluid in the form of urine, or urine, or as you blokes would say, piss, was going to be expelled from the individuals' bodies at some point. Passengers were forced to line up in a single file, lining up in front of the train. The conductor would let passengers go onto the tracks and piss at their discretion. The excess of passengers queuing then led to people pissing in the corners of the carriages. They literally were pissing in the train as they couldn't be fucked waiting. I bet Giorgio would have loved this train ride. Piss heaven, rolling around in it like a pig in shit. Or should I say a midget in piss?
Oh.
Love the pod, Gus.
Oh,
that's.
I think I do like
emails.
I do like
that. Was awesome. That was bloody awesome.
That's all for the program this week. If you have any investigations, ideas for, we'll take a break eventually. We might drop a surprise pod over the Christmas break, depending on how our workload's going.
Maybe a Chrissy Do special pod.
Chrissy Do special. Chrissy Do special. Yeah. Remember to Chrissy Do, but also Chrissy Don't.
Yeah, of course. I won't forget.
Merry Christmas.
Don't do some things.
kickitforwardmailbag@gmail.com. Also, the Beefs, again, they're playing in Perth. I believe the 29th in Perth and also around the country. They're the guys that do our intro as well. Any from you guys before we go?
No, I'm bloody hell. Every other podcast has stopped and we're still going. Can we just wrap this
up? Just
want
to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And, you know, stay hydrated and stay well. And, you know, just, and, you know, sometimes it's just not about football.
On behalf of Josh, Giorgio, and Harry, I would like to say that I'm the most grateful for our listeners listening to this podcast and thank you so very much for contributing. Have a wonderful Feliz Navidad.
This episode is proudly brought to you by our mates at Ned's.
Josh, do you give out many tips?
Sometimes.
Who's your source?
Well, normally Sam McClure. Like, he's really good. Like, I backed Harley Reid not to make it in West Coast colours. And then, and this year, just anything he says, I go the opposite.
Congrats. It's a good option. Hey, I've got...
What about you?
Have you got a brother-in-law?
No.
You need a brother-in-law for your tips, mate. That's where I get mine from. Yeah.
I could ask my brother to divorce his wife and then we can see how we go, but...
That'd be the first step, wouldn't it?
I need to speak to Georgie too. He's always real confident with his tips, but they never ever come off. Now, if you're looking for a one-stop shop for social betting, check out the Neds app. You can create groups perfect for betting together and ripping on your mates. And if you think you found a winner, you can let them know.
Or you might be looking for a hot tip.
And you can build a profile and share your bets with your followers.
Or you can see what other punters are like on the feed.
There's also expert tips on everything AFL from the fantasy pick himself, Tom Rotcliffe, within the Neds AFL Open Group.
It's not just for AFL though, Josh. There are other open groups for racing, B-ball, UFC. See soccer and heaps more.
Download the Neds app if you haven't already and take it to the Neds level. T's and C's apply and available on the Neds website. You win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.